sunshine. I got a love and I know that it's all mine. Oh, whoa. Do what you want, but you're never gonna break me. Sticks and stones are never gonna shake me. Oh, whoa. I got a bucket full of sunshine. I got a love and I know that it's all mine. Oh,
welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are excited because on the phone with us we have Mr. Tim Sullivan. He's the principal of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton School in Hastings, and he is going to get us caught up in some of the things going on at school and a very exciting event that may or may not take place on Friday. How are you, Mr. Sullivan?
I am doing very well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. So first of all, how are things at C's school in Hastings?
Well, they're different than any other given year, I could say that. You know, all of the COVID-19 protocols and whatnot we have in place have, you know, made life a little different here at C's. Students are in masks every day for kindergarten through eighth grade. So it's kind of getting used to not seeing the smiles on their faces, which is, you know, makes for a little bit of a rougher morning sometimes because you just want to see those bright, smiling faces. You know, can't do high fives as the kids are coming in the morning like we used to. So, that's a little bit of a challenge. But behind those masks, we could tell that there's a lot of big smiles on their faces when they came in. We've been in-person learning since the day after Labor Day, knock on wood, and that's been going pretty well. And I know talking with all the teachers and with the parents and even the students, we're all just so glad to be back in school, even though we have to social distance, wash our hands frequently during the day. We take temperature checks in the morning and before lunch. And like I said, everybody's wearing masks. We're sitting behind barriers sometimes or shields in the classroom when we're working close together. And it's made for some challenges, but I'll take every single one of those challenges just to be back in school with the kids.
Well, you mentioned that you're back in school. What you didn't say is that you're back in school 5 days a week.
Correct. We are in school every day from about 8 till 2. Our day's a little shorter than it was in the past, and a lot of that just gets into, you know, with the busing in Hastings there. They need more time and more buses, so we had to cut our day a little bit shorter. But again, we are happy to make some of these changes in order for our kids to be here in person and learning with us. We feel it's very valuable. I understand why other schools can't just from the sheer size of them. But we were able to, we had to make some changes. Our kindergarten classes this year had to get moved back over to the parish campus. To make a little bit more room for us here and a little bit more room for them there, just to make sure that they're, you know, we could spread out our lunches a little bit more. We have an extra room in case we need a holding center for kids who may be exhibiting signs of COVID. But yeah, all in all, being back in the classroom, it's just nice to walk through the halls and peek my head in the rooms there and just see that learning going on in person. It has been wonderful. And we're hoping to stay in person as long as we can. Like I said, we're doing temperature checks. We've had students who've had to quarantine because they may have come in contact with somebody. But overall, we have not had a positive case within our building as of yet. We know that can change tomorrow, and we know that we could be in e-learning tomorrow. But we really felt it was important to establish relationships with our students at the start of the school year as much as we can. Building trust with our students, getting the teachers to know the students and the students to know the teachers. Our goal was always if we could stay in person till MEA week, then that will be an accomplishment. And as of right now, we're really close to hitting that goal. So
that's a pretty great goal, and congratulations for, you know, looking to match that. So as far as the teachers themselves, what sort of precautions or what sort of things have they had to adapt to?
That's a great question. And over the summer, that was one of our biggest driving goals. When I say our, I'm talking about myself, the pastor, Father Dave, and working with other principals within the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. And those were some of our big discussions, is how do we maintain our student safety and our teacher safety. I'm sure parents and staff are probably tired of hearing me say it, but I mean, overall, even as a Catholic school, and we teach the Catholic faith every day, but our number one priority is always the health, safety, and welfare of our students and staff. So I did not want to even think about coming back unless I knew that we could put in place some protocols to help keep our staff safe as well. So obviously, like I said, everybody's in masks, and even before the governor's educational piece on that came out, we were going to be in masks during the day because from a teacher standpoint, you know, our teachers range from fresh out of college to pretty close to retirement and everywhere else in between, and that presents different challenges. You know, for some of our older staff, they want to make sure that they would be safe in the classroom. So we have students in masks. We purchased for our staff a face mask that's called a Z-Shield. You know, instead of one that comes down over the, you know, that you wear around your forehead and comes down, this one actually sits around the neck and comes up. And especially for our younger students who are just learning to read and learning to, you know, sound out words and things like that, to be able to see the teacher's mouth was so important to us. So we went out and we had some fundraisers over the summer to raise monies for safety equipment, so we purchased some equipment for them there. We've cut down our class sizes a little bit in some grades to make sure that we can social distance within the classroom itself. We have sanitizing stations in every classroom there. We purchased fans for the windows so that we can create a negative airflow within the classroom. Obviously, you know, COVID-19 being an airborne virus, we need to do what we can to make sure that that air is not circulating within the classrooms. So our wonderful facilities manager, Dan Kohler, went out and he had been researching that and brought in some other equipment into the building. And as I've said to the teachers, we will do the best we can. If you have an idea to be safer, let us know, and we'll see what we can do together with our wonderful staff here just to make sure that they're safe each and every day.
So to be clear, if the Hastings school system hits that threshold that they're thinking of, the public schools, that they're thinking is the time they would go to all e-learning, would you follow that because of busing, or how does it work, please?
Well, that would be a challenge for us because currently, for example, on Wednesdays, we don't have busing on Wednesdays because Hastings Public School does not have busing on Wednesdays. And our parents have adjusted, and we're so grateful for their cooperation and their flexibility and everything that we've been doing this year. You know, not everybody necessarily agrees with our over cautious stance, but they've been very flexible, and God bless them for their attitude towards it. But if the public school system had to go to a full e-learning, we would evaluate where we are then. Taking a look at the Dakota County Health Department data, Hastings has a very low amount of cases. Since Dakota County includes areas like Apple Valley and Inver Grove Heights and Bloomington, that tends to skew Dakota County's numbers up. But if Hastings were to go into full e-learning mode, we would evaluate where our school is at with that, and then we would have to make a decision whether to go into full e-learning or some type of a different system. But our goal is to stay in person as long as possible.
And then as far as pivoting back the other way, would you follow the school calendar again, or do you take your directives from the Archdiocese?
Well, I'll say both. The Archdiocese helps us out with some guidance there, but they always defer to local leaders. So when it comes to the calendar, and this Thursday night, my school advisory committee and I are meeting, and we have a couple of calendar issues to discuss. We want to do things that are going to keep our students in school as much as possible without overburdening our parents. So there may be some days coming up, you know, as you may know, our building, we have to keep windows open during the school day when kids are present in the classroom. And that has to be year-round. So even as we start talking about the colder months up ahead here, there's a possibility we may have to go to an e-learning model just because it's too cold for our students to be in the classroom with windows open during the day to maintain that proper circulation in the room so that this airborne virus doesn't move around easier in the classroom. I'd say we're taking it a few months ahead at a time. I'm already looking at November and December and saying, okay, well, here are some things that we've learned so far this school year after about a full month in the building, and here's some changes we need to make going forward.
What are some of those things, please?
A lot of them have been very minor pieces, arranging the way our bus dismissal works, because essentially we have two different dismissals. We've had to change our end-of-the-day dismissal as well, dividing up, assigning parents different sides of the building to get picked up on. That's been a whole process. I think on our first couple of days, the last cars were coming through at about 2:15. Now we've got it down to a pretty good science, so by 2:05, every kid is picked up and on their way home. Just maintaining within the classroom how we're going to make it work with having windows open during the day. We have quite a storage of masks on hand because, unfortunately, you know, kids drop a mask in the puddle when they're outside running around, or a strap breaks and all those other things. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of folks in our community who have been making masks for our students, you know, in smaller sizes as well. So we've got a nice big storage of that ready to go. And a lot of it is just trying to get used to, you know, the new routine. How can we separate kids in the cafeteria so that they can still have a little bit of that social time that they would in the cafeteria while still remaining safe? Live streaming our masses on a Wednesday afternoon has been a challenge, and we're still working through that one there to perfect it. But we want to make sure as a Catholic school that our students are able to, at the very least, watch the Mass along with us, and then we come out to the classrooms and deliver the Eucharist to them after Mass, myself and either Father Dave or Father Matz and another Eucharistic minister. So we've had to change a little bit with that to get that down, just so it's a little bit of a smoother process. But, you know, that's at the heart of who we are as a school, so we have to make sure that we're able to have Mass for our students there as well so that they could continue to learn and grow in their faith and come to know Christ.
Mr. Sullivan, tell me why the windows have to be open, please.
Sure. What we do is two windows in the classroom are open. One window has a fan in front of it that pulls air out of the room, and one on the other side either has a fan blowing in if it's a warmer day or just open. We don't have an air conditioning system within our building, and as you know, our building was built in the late 50s, early 60s, so it doesn't exactly have the most modern heating unit as well. So what leaving the windows open does is it brings in fresh air from outside, and then having the fan in front of the window blowing outwards takes the air in the room and pulls it out, so that with an airborne virus, we constantly have fresh air coming in and the air in the classroom being taken out. It's not a perfect system by any means, and I don't think anywhere has a perfect system right now, but our facilities manager, Dan Kohler, when he was researching these things over the summer, spending a lot of time figuring out what's the best way to keep our kids safe. And that was one of the ones that was recommended by the Minnesota Department of Health and an agency whose name escapes me, but it was an the Independent Environmental Agency of Minnesota as well. That was one of their ways of doing it, of keeping them safe. Just to keep the air circulated in the classroom so it's not stale air going in there, so that if by chance a student had COVID and coughed or sneezed and, you know, it got out of the mask somehow, that air is being taken out of the room and fresh air is being brought in all the time.
Well, you're going to get a chance to have some fresh air, I heard, on Friday. Tell us about that, please.
Yes, this Friday is our marathon, the annual Catholic School Marathon, and I know schools all over the Archdiocese this week and going into the next are doing it. Marathon is a big fundraiser for our school. It's one of our favorite fundraisers because every penny that comes in goes right into the school. And in a year like COVID, where we have a lot of added expenses with setting up technology for our students and making sure that our kids and our staff are safe, it's more important for us than ever to make sure that we're hitting our fundraising goals. So for this Friday, if we hit our goal of $33,000, our last turn-in day is this Thursday, but if we hit our goal, I've done a number of different things in the past. I've had to sing. I've had to go in a dunk tank when it was like 50 degrees out, which we didn't plan for, but that was a tough one. I've had to eat chocolate-covered bugs and all these crazy things. This year is an interesting one because it's kind of a twofold. First, if we hit it, I have to spend 24 hours in the building So from 2 in the afternoon on Friday to 2 in the afternoon on Saturday, I'll have to be in or around the building. And during that time, I have to wear a teddy bear pajama onesie.
Do they make them that big?
They do. and they do. In fact, there was a choice between that and a shark and Chewbacca from Star Wars, and the kids chose the teddy bear. That was the first week. And so then last week they chose where I'd have to go to get a snack. And So I will be walking to the Dairy Queen for a snack on Friday afternoon at some point. So if you see a 6'3", 6'4" guy in a bear costume going down the street, that's probably me. Hopefully me. And then this week, the students are voting on, once again, only if we make our goal, but then at 7 o'clock on Friday night from somewhere here in the building, I haven't figured out where yet, I will read a bedtime story to the students dressed up as a bear, and they're voting on what the bedtime story would be.
I love it. And then we can all zoom in to see it?
Well, it'll be on our Facebook page and on our website. And as I've said, I will post a number of updates throughout, because of course the kids are saying, well, you're not really going to sleep in the building. I said, yes, I will, and I will take pictures to prove it, so everybody could see where that I'm here and I'm keeping up with it. And I'll just say that it ought to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping we make the goal for it. We'll be announcing at about 1 o'clock that afternoon, again on our website and on our Facebook page, whether or not we made it, and we have some prize drawings and things like that as well.
So I'm not quite understanding. If you make it, your prize is you get to wear your jammies and walk to DQ. What about if you don't make it?
If we don't make it, then I will be heading home and spending the night in my bed.
I'm rooting for you both ways. How's that?
You know what? As I said, when my daughter, who's in her last year here, she goes to C's this year too. She'd asked me if I would really do it, and I said, of course. And she said, well, wouldn't you be embarrassed? And I said, you know what? In this life, we spend so much time worrying about being embarrassed that what's the point?
Right.
And if seeing me walking around there in a bear costume is going to bring a smile to these kids' faces, especially with what everybody has been dealing with the last 8 months or so, so be it.
Right. I think she was talking about herself.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, no. She is so excited for this.
She's going to be embarrassed. Oh, my gosh. Mr. Sullivan, good luck to you. We anxiously await that, and we're going to take some pictures ourselves, so we want to have that. Yes, congratulations to all the good things going on at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton School in Hastings. We wish you continued success and good luck with the Catholic Schools Marathon, which you will be concluding this Friday.
Yep. And
we can't wait to hear how it all goes. Thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you, Mo.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I got a pocket for the sunshine. I got a love and I know that it's all mine. Oh. What you want, but you're never gonna break me. Sticks and stones are never gonna shake me. Oh, oh. I got a bucket full of sunshine. I got a love and I know that it's all mine. Oh, oh, oh. Wish that you could, but you ain't gonna own me. Do anything you want, you can't slow me down.